You're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Andy Klein, your host for today. And tonight's Fireside Lecture is something we haven't experienced in a long time, at least since the pandemic began. This is the first lecture since the series moved to a virtual format to be held in person at the Mendenhall Glacier Visitor Center in what might be called Juno's Glacier Living Room. Sue York, the executive director of the Eldred Rock Lighthouse Preservation Center, is tonight's presenter. And if you enjoy hearing a good story, tonight's definitely the night. The lighthouse, which is between Juneau and Haines, is much more than just a Lynn Canal landmark. It's a piece of living history here in Southeast Alaska. And Susan, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's a pretty exciting to think about being able to talk to people in person again.
I know. It's the first time. I know. They're very excited over at the Visitor Center, by the way. I was there yesterday just doing a tech check, and they are pumped.
That's great. That's great. Well, it's exciting. Also, I think that's really nice just to talk a little bit more about the format. It's really nice that it's also still available as well on the Glacier Visitor Center's Facebook page as a live Facebook event as well. So if you can't get there or feel uncomfortable getting there with a crowd of people, no problem. Just check out the Facebook page.
Mm-hmm. And it's important to note, I think they would want me to mention this, that when you log on to their Facebook page, the live show doesn't activate until actually 7 p.m. So don't be alarmed if you click on it, the link, and it doesn't start. It'll start right at 7. So 7:01, click on it again, and you're good to go. And that also, I'm told, is available for folks that don't have a Facebook account because it's a public space. When you click on that link, you should be able to get to it, even if you don't use Facebook.
That's what I understand from the ones in the past, yeah, that you can still just go to that link and get there. What are the considerations for people showing up in person? Is it a masked event, that kind of thing? What are some of the things people need to
know? It is, yeah. It's a masked event. They have it in the auditorium that they normally show films in during the summer seasons. But it's capped at 50. So if you do want to arrive and be in person, there is an event link on their Facebook page. You want to reserve a seat. It's still free, but they have to keep it limited to 50. And what I love about over the Visitor Center is they have the auditorium with seating, but you could also, they have it into a screen in the main where you see the glacier, you know, those main windows where there's that little old classic fireplace area. So kids can kind of be on the floor and you can be spread out quite a bit more and still see the presentation from the other room.
Great. Oh, okay. That's great. Well, let's talk about Eldred Rock Lighthouse a little bit. I got to read some of the material you sent over before the interview, and boy, a fascinating intrigue and accidents and missing people and all kinds of things there at the Eldred Rock Lighthouse. In fact, from the telling of what I read today, the actual founding of the lighthouse itself was based on something that has still a lot of intrigue.
Exactly. Yeah, the shipwreck of the Clare Nevada happened in 1898. It's actually next year will be the 125th anniversary of that tragedy. And that was that actually prompted Congress to dedicate funding for lighthouses in Alaska. So although Eldred Rock was the last of the 12 lighthouses in Alaska to be built in 1906 is when it opened, that tragedy was actually such a nationwide news. It was in the New York Times, and it sort of made the headlines because of the mystery, and it was an explosion and, you know, all lives lost type thing. So it actually prompted the U.S. Lighthouse establishment to, you know, form funding for lighthouses in Alaska. So, yeah, there's a lot of mystery.
Yeah, the accident happened by the boat running aground at Eldred Rock. But
Correct. Then
Eldred Rock was the last of, was it 12 lighthouses built in sort of a 5 or 6 year period?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the first lighthouses to actually be built in Southeast were Sentinel and Five Finger, which you can go to and visit to this day. Eldred Rock was the last of those octagonal shaped design So it has a very unique design, and it was actually the last one to be built. But now that many of those lighthouses were rebuilt in the 1930s to be like solid concrete structures, like you see today, like if you go by Sentinel, Eldridge Rock was the only one not rebuilt because it already had a concrete base. And so it's unique in the fact that the keeper quarters are on the second floor of a concrete base where the engine room and the fog signals and all that was. And then the lantern room or the lamp room is on the very top. So it's like a three-story, there's a large attic, but it wasn't rebuilt. So it's actually the oldest original building.
Was there building technology that was happening during that time that allowed for it to be sort of the most advanced and the sturdiest?
The sturdiest, the octagonal design was popular when it was being designed. But I think it was because of the square footage of the island. It's only a 2-acre island. And so many of the lighthouses around here have a separate keeper house, like Point Retreat. It has a lantern room building and then a separate keeper house because there's more square footage to build that. But in our case, on our island, the top of the island is sort of a limited space. So they did it all in one structure, which in the end proved to be, a successful design. So.
And just a little bit more on that first, I don't want to give away some of the fun things you're going to be talking about tonight, but there's lost gold that was never recovered. There's potential that some of the crew may have actually survived, even though it was supposed to be all souls lost. It was over 100 people on board, so it was an incredibly significant shipwreck with a significant loss of life. It was during the gold rush, 1898. I mean, it was the peak of the gold. So there's so much going on about the history of Alaska, but also about this kind of, intriguing mystery story. So anyway, that's a fascinating piece. I don't want to give it – maybe I gave too much away, but I don't want to talk too much about it.
No, anyway, that's okay.
There's more for people to hear about that. Yeah, definitely. And so tell me a little bit about some of the as the lighthouse started becoming operated in 1906, what are some of the, many things that maybe happened – struggles or challenges of having a lighthouse out there. Anyone who's lived here any amount of time and traveled, whether on boat or plane, up Lynn Canal knows that it can be hairy up there.
It is, it can flip quickly for sure. And what the benefit of Eldridge Rock, actually, even though it's in an extremely windy area, is because of that fact, there's a lot of weather equipment on the island. So it's used by the FAA, it's used by, NOAA, and it's used by the Marine Exchange of Alaska, keeps their equipment there. So there's a lot of people going to the island even now, even though it's empty and it's not being used as a traditional lighthouse. And likewise, the Coast Guard still goes there using the helicopter pad to maintain that aid to navigation that's still going, flashing every 6 seconds.
That's what I was wondering. Okay. So when you said not a traditional lighthouse, what is that just meaning, not using the same traditional big light up there, but instead a more modern beacon?
Right. The Fresnel lens was taken out of the lighthouse in 1975, and it was given to the Alaska State Museum, which in turn loaned it to the Sheldon Museum in Haines. So it's now on display, the actual lens. It's a very large, piece of equipment. And it used to actually, there's a mechanism inside the lighthouse, which is very cool. And it had weights that they would have to pull the weight up to the top, and then it would slowly lower, and that's what turned the actual light.
And is it kind of turn on sort of a spindle, like a big drill bit almost kind of thing?
Like a little, mechanical sort of turntable spindle thing as the weight would drop down. And of course, back in the old days, we call initial members of our association wikis, because the low man on the totem pole would have to go and trim the wick and light the oil lamp that was within that lens, right? That
an oil lamp. Of course, it would have been an oil.
Electricity. There's no solar panels. Now we use, solar panels.
So what kind of oil was being burnt? Do you know? Was it whale oil?
Oh,
or was
I
it,
think.
I mean, just anything you could get a hold of.
Probably anything they could get a hold of. Yeah, and you know those that this was manned full year round. So there's many extreme weather stories. Like one time they were stuck inside for 3 weeks while there was a winter storm. They couldn't even get outside the lighthouse.
Wow.
And you know, extreme things. There's great books written on that kind of thing. Also on our website, you can read a lot of this history if you're really interested, elderdrocklighthouse.org. And there's a tab and it's all about history. And there's lots of information of how the lighthouse was run, what the structure's like. And you know, just so we don't run out of time.
Yeah,
I was just keeping an eye on the time.
Yeah.
The Coast Guard, automated the lighthouse as they did all the lighthouses in 1973, in particular for our case. So Elderdrock has been empty now for nearly 50 years. So our goal as an association is to make it available to the public by 2023, which would be 50 years since it was left alone. So we're working really hard to get it clean, repaired, safe for the public to use.
Well, tell me a little bit about the association itself. How when did that form, and what's the kind of goal of the association? I think you just expressed one of the goals.
Right. So we were formed in 2014. It was a sort of a shoot off from the Sheldon Museum. Had a committee. You know, it's only 17 miles from Haines. So they were very concerned about the dilapidated, you know, condition of the lighthouse. So they formed a nonprofit in 2014. It took about 6 years to get a lease agreement with the U.S. Coast Guard to be able to start repairs. So the Coast Guard still owns the property at this point. There's some environmental factors on the island, which doesn't allow them to give the property up just yet till those things are cleaned up. And that's stuff like diesel in the soil and, you know, DEC type things mm-hmm. that we're working to get cleaned up and remediated. So once all that happens, our nonprofit is hoping to be able to gain ownership of the property itself. But right now it's still with the Coast Guard. And so we work with them for repairs. They approve all our work projects as well as the state historic preservation officer.
And yeah. What sort of shape is it in now? I mean, is it, you know, how's it going?
Yeah, well, we did enough, you know, and I'll get into this tonight at the lecture, but we worked on it enough. Last summer was our first year of work. And we were able to clean up the living spaces and the hallways. So now you can walk in. We've got air inspections and air clearances, so it's safe to breathe, and you're not breathing any lead paint or asbestos or any gross things like that. So we were able to clean the living spaces and the hallways enough so where we can start to camp inside. And so we've been camping out in tents and
what sort of stuff was in there?
It's just a lot of lead paint.
Oh, so I mean, just remediation of that sort of thing was what you needed.
Exactly. And that was all contracted out. That kind of stuff. We don't really, you know, get volunteers involved in any of that kind of thing. But now that it's clean, we're asking for volunteers because we have a ton of painting to do and a ton of cleaning and yard work to do. So next summer, we're really focused on finishing up cleaning all the way up to the lantern room, which needs repair, and getting that done. And then in 2023, we hope to open it up for overnight rentals, retreats, weddings, tours, that kind of thing.
Wow, what a great resource that'll be. That'll be so awesome. Are there challenges to accessing it, to getting out there? Is it?
Well, I was just on the phone with another water taxi today. You know, we usually take a landing craft there because there's a beautiful beach to land on if the weather's just right. But there's also actually three landing spots. So they actually designed it with a north boat ramp and a south boat ramp. And then we have a nice landing beach as well for a landing craft on the southeast side. So depending on the weather and tides, you pick one or the other.
Yeah.
And it's actually, as far as lighthouses go, it's not.
I was going to say, I've had friends who've taken kayak trips to lots of different lighthouses, and sometimes it's a challenge.
Yeah, some of the other lighthouses are, you know, up on like rocks and everything, but this one in particular is designed to launch and retrieve a small boat from those boat ramps. There's a boathouse there that they would use. And so that's all going to be restored eventually. It's all funding and time. But the landing beach is great. And there's a helipad. So, you know, if you have a helicopter standing by, you know, you can just go there that way. And I have landed up with a helo with coastal helicopters before. It's great. It's
right.
Fun.
Well, that's really cool. So, again, the goal is 2023 to actually have it be a functional place where you can go and rent it, I guess, kind of like a public use cabin almost kind of thing, or that sort of rental.
That's the idea.
Yeah.
There's 5 bedrooms in that lighthouse. It's a huge building, a full kitchen, pantry, rec room. I mean, bathroom. It's a big deal. So we're working as hard as we can. So just looking for local support, volunteers, things like that to help us get going, and it's a pretty exciting time.
Well, that's awesome, and I'm sure you're going to get a lot of attention on it tonight at the at your talk tonight. Why don't we just plug it one more time, the Fireside Lecture tonight?
Right. So we're live for the first time since COVID.
Live in person.
At the Glacier Visitor Center. It's a traditional fireside chat. I'll be speaking for about an hour, a nice slideshow about the history, about our future, our goals, and there'll be a nice video so you can kind of go inside the lighthouse, look around with us online. And that will also be recorded. So if you can't make it tonight, you can always go back on their Facebook page. This is the Mendenhall Glacier Visitor Center Facebook page.
Right.
And you can watch it anytime.
Yeah, well, that sounds great. Well, Susan York, thanks so much. You're the executive director of the Eldred Rock Lighthouse Association. I'm going to be putting out the call for volunteers more and more here, and I'm sure as the lighthouse becomes operational, there'll be lots of things to do through the years coming up as you want to keep that a functional facility out there. Well, it's exciting. It sure is exciting to hear about anyone who's been on the ferry or even and just gone up and down Lynn Canal. Passing Eldred Rock is always a highlight of the trip. And
and
you look at it and you see it and it's beautiful, but maybe you don't know much about the history of it or have never really understood. Or like me, you thought, oh, it's just a lighthouse, whatever, you know. But it's really awesome to hear about all of the effort that's being put into restoring it, making something that people will be able to use. So, Sue, thanks so much for joining us today, and have a great fireside lecture tonight at the Mendenhall Glacier Visitor Center.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, appreciate it. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.